Tonight I'd like to talk to you just for a few moments about the fact that membership in the body of Christ has its privileges. And some of those things that we want to talk about tonight may not be considered by the world privilege, but in the body of Christ it is a privilege. Now, most of us are familiar with all the gimmicks that are out there in society today, and everywhere you go there is this new membership opportunity. And it began, I think, several years ago with American Express when it came up with the phrase, membership has its privileges. And people began to catch on to the fact that it's exciting to belong to something, a club. It's exciting to belong to a group or an organization. Now, that goes way back, doesn't it? And probably the Masonic Lodge and a number of lodges that came about at the turn of the century in particular demonstrates the need for people to belong and the desire that they have to have something in common with other people. Most recently, I don't know if you've paid any attention as you've been going into your gasoline depots and picking up stuff, but I've noticed that even you can get a membership now that provides you with points so that you can get free gas or you can get antifreeze, and the list goes on, you know, those nice handy window ice scrapers, and the list goes on. Of course, Club Zed provided the opportunity for each of us to gain products that we probably wouldn't be able to afford otherwise, but we can redeem those points that we accumulate, or air miles now. And I noticed as I went through the grocery checkout that they even have that at the grocery stores. And yes, I periodically frequent the grocery stores just to check up and make sure my wife isn't overspending on needless items. But membership has its privileges. You have the opportunity for better service if you're a member. You have the opportunity for better prices if you're a member. You have the opportunity, as I mentioned earlier, to redeem some of the points that you've accumulated if you're a member. And the list goes on. There is a rather humorous story of the United Airlines gimmick that took place about 15 years ago. They were trying to increase their membership, people who would, in fact, fly their airlines as opposed to the numerous other ones that were available. And they ran a campaign for those who were members, Fly Your Wife Free campaign. And so they found that a number of businessmen were taking them up on their offer. And as a thank you, they decided that they would send letters to the homes expressing their gratitude for flying with United Airlines. And you can imagine that there were a number of very outraged ladies who wrote back demanding to know who it was their husbands were flying with because they had not left the ground, or at least they hadn't left the ground on an airline. They probably did when they received the letter. Membership does have its privileges, and the body of Christ is no different in that sense. There are some privileges. There are some responsibilities. We want to talk just very briefly in the next 20 minutes or so about some of those things that are considered privileges of membership, which I would probably define as partnership in the long run, or community, perhaps would be a better way of expressing it. Let's pray just before we look at God's word tonight. Lord, we do say thank you for the way in which you speak to us, and we pray that in the next few moments you would address us, that it would be from your word and not from the mind of a man. Lord, that it would be clearly what the Spirit of God would want to say to us and challenge us tonight to be members in the body of Christ, to be partners in the work of what Jesus is doing, even as the disciples were called to be partners in his ministry, especially as he came close to the end of his earthly ministry. He challenged his disciples to partner with him in prayer. We pray that you would speak to us tonight from your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to turn over, if I can, to Mark tonight, and this is a parallel passage in some ways to that which we read earlier in Matthew. And over in Mark chapter 14, we read essentially the same story with a little bit of a different slant, and that's not to say that there is any inconsistency. It's just that certain authors in the Synoptic Gospels choose to focus on particular items of the story. And so we read in verse 32 of Mark 14, "They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter, James, and John along with him and began to be deeply distressed and troubled." Now, I want you to notice as we proceed tonight that Jesus definitely had a group within the group upon which he relied. He drew to himself Peter, James, and John, particularly in those times of great distress and need. Verse 34, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. And returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go." There is another passage that we could look at. We won't take the time to do that tonight. But that is found in Luke chapter 22, which is once again a parallel passage to these other two that we have read this evening from Matthew and Mark. Jesus knew the value of support and encouragement with his disciples. And I believe, at least to my recollection, this is the only time in all of Scripture that God reaches out for the assistance of man. Quite a paradox, isn't it? That God would reach out and ask sinful men to help him by praying for him. Here Jesus is coming to the most pivotal time in his ministry, and he seeks the friendship and the community, the partnership, if you will, of his disciples in that which he is about to endeavor to do, and that is to fulfill the will of God. He doesn't call a meeting, if you will, of all the disciples. He doesn't say, "I'm feeling really low right now and I need to experience a little bit of community, so let's get a social together and do some things." He simply says, "Would you come and spend some time with me and pray for me? I need your help. I need your assistance." And I want to tonight just to point out three things, and we've been fairly informal tonight, and maybe we'll be a little bit more informal and almost like a Sunday school class tonight. What are three things? And this is pastoral prerogative to always have three things, a three-point sermon. But what are some of the things that we would look for as marks of the church in terms of membership or partnership, if we can use that term, or community? What are three things? You help me out tonight with the message. It's also pastoral prerogative to use alliteration, too, so I'll give you a hint. It's going to start with A. Any ideas tonight? There's no wrong answers. Okay. Support or assistance, maybe? Am I helping out too much now? Okay, that's certainly one thing that we can look at, that we will look at in a few moments. Are there some others that you can think of? Okay, availability, good. I have to make that my fourth point later. Okay, coming together, assembling, right? I'm sorry, supporting? Supporting the work, okay, sure. There are a number of things that should be the trademarks of the church. And I'm going to be just a little bit topical in some sense with this first point. But the first thing that came to my mind as I thought about the early church and as I thought about even this circumstance in which Jesus found himself is he desired acceptance on the part of his disciples. He didn't ask them to question why he was feeling down in the mouth, why he was feeling distressed to the point of death even. He just looked to them for acceptance and understanding. And so one of the marks of the church should be that we accept one another in all of our situations, accept one another no matter what some of the pitfalls may be or some of the downfalls of individuals may be. Jesus knew that he could count at least on Peter, James, and John for unconditional acceptance at any moment in time. He didn't need to explain to them why he was feeling the way that he did. And we should be able to call upon one another and find unconditional acceptance. We should be able to call upon one another when we're feeling at our lowest points and know that they won't question, why are you feeling down? Don't you trust God? Don't you believe that our Heavenly Father will be able to pull you up and cast doubts upon our own faith? Jesus knew that he could count upon these disciples for unconditional acceptance. And so we ought to be able to count on one another in that same way. Jesus faced extremely difficult days. There were times wherein he would face the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he would be ridiculed and he would be put down, even when he did some of the most miraculous things that are recorded in Scripture. And there were probably many times where he felt a little bit discouraged. Jesus identifies with us in every sense of the word. And so that doesn't in any way diminish his deity, but instead it declares, as the author of Hebrews would indicate to us, that he was tempted and that he experienced all that we would experience. And there were times where he needed people to come alongside and to offer acceptance and be able to support him. In the same way, that ought to be something that effectively characterizes us. One of the things that I think the evangelical church is sometimes guilty of is redefining church community into the very thing that we have accused the liberal church of doing, and that is changing it into an institution. And so instead of offering one another unconditional acceptance, drawing alongside one another and praying for each other, meeting one another's needs, we tend to change the church community into an institution where we come and we come together and assemble for about an hour and 15 minutes, and we worship God. But the church goes far beyond these walls, and it's through the demonstration, at least in part, of unconditional acceptance offered to one another. The second thing that I want to mention tonight, we're going to move on to the second point because I want to be true to my word. I said about 20 minutes. We'll try to remain true to our word. But in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 38, Jesus declares to his friends, I need your prayer support. I need your assistance. And I think that probably if we were to paraphrase his words a little bit, we could say that he would be saying to these disciples, I cherish your help and your assistance in this a time of need, and I'm asking you to come alongside and provide me with the assistance that I know that you're willing to offer. Now, this principle is demonstrated time again in Scripture, and 2 Timothy chapter 4 is a good example, and perhaps we should turn there just very briefly tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we see the Apostle Paul is now coming to the end of his life. And one of the things that he requires, one of the things that he is looking for, is assistance from the Christian community to deal with that which he is about to face, and that is his imminent departure from this world. He's looking forward to it, but still, in those dying moments or in those last moments of his life, one of the things that he desired most was the fellowship or the community, the partnership, if you will, of the community of faith. And so we read in this particular passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he indicates, verse 6 through 8, that he's being poured out. The time of his departure has come. He has fought the good fight. He's finished the race. And he can almost see the crown that awaits him. He's looking forward to it. But now he's sitting in the Mamertine prison, perhaps, in Rome, and has been there for some time. It's cold, it's dark, perhaps could have been a lonely dungeon, and the only individual who seems to be with him at this time is Luke, Dr. Luke, if you will. And the Apostle Paul needs community surrounding him. And so he asks for their assistance, for their brotherhood. And I'm sure that he appreciated the company of Luke, but we also see indicated, verse 10, that Demas has deserted him, and we can see that Crescens and Titus and Tychicus and other members of his support group or his immediate partnership in faith and in work have gone on to other activities. They're involved in other capacities or other assignments. And so the Apostle Paul says in his dying moments, I lack one thing, and that is your company here, your assistance. And he asked Timothy if he would be able to come and to minister to him in his time of need. In verse 9, again in verse 21, Paul says to Timothy, his closest and his most trusted fellow worker in the gospel, come as quickly as possible, essentially. I need your assistance. And community, the church community, means offering assistance to one another in time of need. He says, bring along the cloak and the scrolls. And one other thing, he says, if it's possible, see if Mark will come along. Now, that's a remarkable thing, and I don't want to take a great deal of time to talk about that tonight, because most of us are familiar with the fact that Mark was the one who came between Barnabas and Paul, perhaps the greatest missionary team that there has ever been. And Paul did not have affection for Mark, at least at that particular point in history. And yet now there has been a dramatic change in circumstances. There has been a dramatic reconciliation. And so John Mark has now become one of the Apostle Paul's most trusted and closest and dearest people in terms of working with him. And so he asks if Mark would accompany Timothy and become part of that team that would assist him as he prepares for his imminent departure, as he prepares to leave the face of this earth. Now let me ask you, if there's been difficult times in your life and where you've turned. Now it's probably characteristic of a lot of us that when we face difficult moments in life, we would turn to our family. And certainly I can attest to that. In moments of crisis, we have often turned to my siblings or my wife's siblings or our parents and grandparents and so on. But one of the first places that we should turn as a community of believers is to one another, because we are of like faith, because we've been drawn together as a family. Let me give you an illustration of that. When Jacob was injured about 5.5 years ago now, and had a very terrible accident where his nose was severed from his face and pushed up, almost penetrating his brain. When we had that accident take place, we began immediately, after immediate family had been notified, we began to phone our church family. And one of the most dramatic demonstrations of community to me came in the form of the assistance that then came from these same people. We were pastoring at a church in Kitchener at the time, and we phoned the couple that we were going to be meeting the following day. We were going to be going somewhere. I've forgotten where it was. Within two hours of the phone call to them, they had arrived at the hospital in Owen Sound. Now, Pastor Thurton talks about the speed limit. They probably couldn't have done it if they had been following the speed limit, because they had to drop their kids off in Cambridge and then at her mom's and then rush up to the hospital. But immediately they dropped everything that they had, because they knew that members in the body of Christ that they were close to needed their assistance. In the same way, prayer chains began to function all over the missionary church and through a variety of other churches as well, the Alliance Church that we were part of when we were younger. And probably within about an hour and a half, we had a visit from the pastor and one of the elders of the Alliance Church in Owen Sound. They dropped everything that they had been doing because they knew that someone in the body of Christ needed assistance at this crucial moment in time. That's precisely what Paul was asking for, the assistance of fellow believers. Part of the privilege of membership in the body of Christ is that we're able to assist one another in time of need, in time of crisis, or perhaps in joyous times. One of the great privileges that I have had, and I'm sure that probably many of you have had, was when I was at camp, and one of our counselors came to me this year and asked if I would be a prayer partner. She's actually with our kids on the Mexico trip. To know, though, that I have the privilege of membership in that ministry with that individual, and that she was desirous of people coming alongside in a spiritual way and ministering to her. There is the opportunity for us to assist one another. And I want to give you a question tonight. I want you to ask yourself in a very practical fashion, how am I assisting other people in the body of Christ. And there are a number of ways, obviously. Prayer ministry is something that's so vital. Ministry in some of the organizations, if you will, of the church, or some of the programs of the church is some way is one of the ways that you can be assisting the body of Christ. Being part of the team that would respond, and you will be hearing from the Board of Care Ministries in a short time about opportunities for you to be involved in the ministry of the church, the ministry of caring and assisting people in need. And I hope and I trust that you'll be able to respond positively to some of those opportunities. And then finally, I said that I've got 2 minutes, don't I? The last thing that I want to mention is the fact that we also have a need for accountability. Accountability is something that eludes most of us because we're afraid or we're fearful of vulnerability. And it's not that long ago, it's about 6 years ago, that there was a report released where Arnell Motz responded to a situation that had developed when David Hocking had been involved in an adulterous affair out west. And some of you are familiar with that name, led a large Christian organization. Unfortunately, there were those who liked to respond with a great deal of criticism instead of drawing alongside the family to provide assistance in time of need. And that poses a problem too, doesn't it? Not knowing how to respond, but we ought to respond in Christ-like fashion. But the need for accountability, Arnell Motz said, the announcement, and that is of Mr. Hocking's situation, raises the question of accountability. We're all vulnerable, says Arnell Motz, the Canadian director of Hocking's ministry. Sometimes we just get busy and get lax in terms of holding each other accountable. And you think that a person's above moral failure, and nobody's above it. Motz sees the news as a chance for people in leadership to say we need to be accountable to somebody else for our spiritual and moral lives and marriage relationships. You know, none of us likes to be accountable. None of us likes to be vulnerable. And I guess the problem that often arises within the body of Christ is that when we fail to hold one another accountable, instead of being proactive, we become reactive. Instead of being ministers, if you will, one to another, and assisting the individuals or the families or whoever it might be in growth and in nurture, we become reactive agents, trying to help them get back on their feet because the disastrous has happened. One of the most significant features of the disciples was the fact that they were accountable. Jesus held them accountable. Peter held Jesus accountable and was mistaken in doing so, of course, because of the nature of who Jesus was. But when Jesus told the disciples about what was going to take place in his life, Peter rebuked him, held Jesus accountable. Unfortunately, he was wrong, and Jesus had to rebuke Peter for what he had said. Accountability is something that doesn't come easily, however. It requires work on our part. But as I mentioned before, it's becoming part and parcel of the church that instead of holding one another accountable in a proactive sense, we become reactive. And so when an issue arises, we respond to it. This year at camp, it was a particularly difficult year for me at camp, and I've mentioned to one or two people the reason why. There was a situation that developed in the lives of some of our staff members, not at camp, people who were ministering at camp, a situation that had developed. And unfortunately, it jeopardized their marriage and continues even at this time to do so. And one of the ways that we responded, or that I responded as I spent hours in counseling with the individuals, was to set up an accountability group. And there again is that demonstration of the reactive nature. Instead of being able to, and this couple, if they had, instead of allowing the situation to develop, if instead within the confines of their own church community had established at least some form of accountability to other people, to one another, perhaps it could have been avoided, but it wasn't. The privileges of membership in the body of Christ tonight, acceptance we've mentioned, And we have to be very careful that we don't redefine, and this is the problem that we see developing, redefining church or church community as an institution that is relegated to here within these four walls, worshiping God only at those particular times that we establish. We are not an institution. We're a community of believers. We're a family that needs to be offering acceptance to one another and support, which is our second point. We need to be offering assistance to one another in time of need, in time of joy, and in time of sorrow. One of the most exciting things for a pastor is to celebrate with people the joys of their lives. And it's a privilege, always a privilege, to be invited to 50th and 40th and so on, wedding anniversaries, and the list goes on. And it's always wonderful to survey the room and to see Christian friends who have been there over the years for those people, provided support and encouragement and assistance, and in all likelihood, that third point, have provided accountability. We need to provide accountability one to another in order that we might be able to see one another on our pilgrimage, on our spiritual journey as we become closer to Christ, as we become more conformed to his image and likeness, that we might be able to enter into the joy that he has provided for us. Membership has its privileges, but membership in the body of Christ doesn't have so much to do with what you can gain as what you can give. And if you depart tonight with one thing, it's that I'd like you to leave with. Membership in the body of Christ is about service and servanthood. It's about offering loving unconditional acceptance. It's about offering assistance to one another when we have need, before we realize that there's a need arising. It's about being accountable to one another. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing together a song that concludes in an appropriate fashion, speaking about how we can hold one another accountable, how we can offer assistance, how we can offer acceptance to one another. Brother, let me be your servant. Let's pray together. Lord, we do give you thanks tonight for the challenge from your word, and we pray that you would continue to encourage us to be faithful to you and faithful to one another. Membership in the body of Christ is about partnership. In the same way that the disciples were partners with Jesus in his ministry, we want to be partners with the body of Christ. In a sense, the present day incarnation of Jesus, the body of Christ. Allow us, Lord, to be supportive and encouraging. Allow us to see ways in which we can challenge one another. We can pray for one another. We can meet needs that are existent. Lord, allow us to be servants one to another and so fulfill that which Jesus has commanded us to be, that which Jesus expects us to be. For indeed we are his hands and his feet right now, and we are the ones who will be expressing to each other and to the world what it means to be part of the body of Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.